This award, it's like fun, but it's a popularity contest at the end of the day. Because you feel like, all right, look, Tim Thomas won it 2 years in a row. You had Brad Marchand win it in 2010, 11, and then again in 2015, 16. David Pasternak won it in 2014, 15, then 16, 17. Chris Wagner won it in 2018, 19. And then Charlie Coyle won it last year. Like it becomes like a popularity contest in a way.
Yeah.
I think that's why Nick Ritchie is going to win it. Welcome to episode 42 of season 2 of Brews and Brew. I'm seeing myself twice because I have the stream pulled up. I don't need that. Yes, welcome. It is Chris Gear and myself without Cam. So this is some good listening, some good viewing without Cam here. Yeah, Bruins just had a nice win. I guess we have some sponsors first. We'll whip through them quickly. This has gone great. I pre-gamed for this, so... Chris, you have a new t-shirt, don't you? Do you not?
Hey, we got this black and gold till I'm dead and cold shirt from Boston or diehardbostonsportsfans.com. Go check them out. Promo code BRUS on that website for a little for a little savings.
Hell yeah. We're also sponsored by DraftKings. Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes if you use promo code THPN. Feel the
sweat
like never before. Every dunk, steal, and assist means so much more with DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. What are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in on all the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Chris, you drinking anything?
No. Had some pretty wild headaches today. So I got a... water with a noon tablet in it, N-U-U-N. It's a little hydration electrolytes without the sugar of your usual sports drink. So I like those. Go check them out. They're not sponsoring the podcast, but it's kind of cool.
But they are indoors.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a Corona again, but earlier I had a cider from Ireland, imported from Ireland. It's Magner, the Chris Wagner Magner.
I was genuinely considering asking if you were in Ireland just based on your your Guinness tweet followed by Irish cider.
No, I was at an Irish pub though. But yeah, so that's cider. I gave it a 22 out of 37 on drinkability, and taste was like 33 out of 37. Could really taste it. Felt a little bit heavy. Anyway, Bruins have claimed victory tonight over the Buffalo Sabres. Was close there for a bit, but Bruins expanded their
Buffalo
lead.
Buffalo Sabres.
The Sabres.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are your initial thoughts on that? Because it was pretty close for a little bit there.
Yeah, that's kind of the microcosm of hockey to me. Like that game... after each goal in that game, you could be ready to declare this the Bruins season where they finally win the cup again, or this team's going to miss the playoffs because they look so terrible. I think overall, take some positives out of that game. I mean, the number one takeaway for me is David Krejci's absolutely humming. Like, that dude is fucking on one. I hope this is just his pace for the rest of the year through the playoffs, because this is the playoff Krejci that we're used to. We know he can turn it on like this, but really good to see him have a couple of line mates that like are actually productive and actually good. Taylor Hall getting that little goal, the benefit of Krejci's dirty dangles. I'm not proud of the noise that I made when he dished that assist, but
I didn't hear what
involuntary hockey noises are back.
Ooh. I've been noticing, you know, Taylor Hall's doing good. David Krejci's doing good. I wonder if there's any correlation there.
Could be related.
Could be related. Yeah, no, it's just so nice to have Krejci have like an actual sustainable winger, whether or not he winds up signing, though it looks like that will be possible. For right now, it's something that's really working, and it's really good to see. It's not like an experiment. It's kind of like, okay, Krejci's had success with these kind of players who have the good shooting, have the good passing, also have a big frame that creates some room for him. And no, he's not like a Lucic or anything. But, you know, we wouldn't want a Lucic right now. We want a Taylor Hall, who is like a, I was going to say 21st century version, but Lucic is also 21st century. So let's go a 2021 version.
I think they're like 2 or 3 years apart in age.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the Bruins are currently running. They're rolling out two first lines kind of in the mold of the good old days. And, you know, I think the two fourth lines look pretty good. Charlie Coyle scored finally. And yep. I mean, I think the most important thing about Krejci and Hall kind of heating up right now is it makes both power play units look really good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Mike Riley being on that top power play looks awesome. And I mean, I think Nick Ritchie kind of is a key there on that top power play, pushing Hall down and Mike Riley being able to push, you know, Krejci off that top unit, and maybe Grizzlick or McAvoy takes that spot down there on the second unit. And having depth at power play is really important, as we've seen in playoffs where the Bruins haven't been able to score on the power play. It's less likely that both units are going to be completely inept at the same time if you have two units that have awesome players on them.
Yeah, you mentioned Mike Riley on there. One of my key takeaways was a slap pass he made, and I was just reflecting upon our like conversations about how he just does these one touch passes sometimes. I felt like he just like pulled it out because he was like, "All right, I'm just having fun out here. I'm bored as fuck. I'm gonna send a slap
pass." I'm glad you remembered that, because that was one of my favorite moments of the game. Just we were talking with Pete about like, I just love all the random shit he does on the ice, and that was just like, he looked like he was in NHL and just like accidentally, like, you know how sometimes when you try to like clear it from behind it when you're in your own zone and they just like randomly turn and slap it in the wrong direction. That's exactly what that reminded me of.
And Charlie Coyle scoring. I mean, that was a Charlie Coyle goal. You know, Lancey says, "Sup, Kings."
Sup, Lancey. From Twitch.
But yeah, no, that was a Charlie Coyle goal. That was, you know, using his size as well as his finishing ability. I mean, Andy Brickley went off about it and listed like 20 reasons why he scored that goal, because he was just playing to his strength there. And it was really good to see him get one. It was really good to see him finish. And that was the goal aside, just that kind of play I haven't been seeing from Coyle. I haven't seen that confidence to just drive to the net like that, get through two guys. And it's really, really encouraging to see that, especially at the stage of the season we're in, especially going into the playoffs where you're going to need a guy on that third line that can score for you.
Yeah. I mean, that was another thing we talked about with Pete, where Pete said the one guy you really got to get going is Charlie Coyle. And he gave a lot of really good reasons. So go back and listen to that episode if you haven't. And I mean, it's one goal, but I hope this maybe takes some of that pressure off. I can't imagine. I know most hockey players, if you ask them, like, "Hey, does it feel good to like finally get that goal?" And you're like, "Eh, well, I'm always looking at the next shift. I'm not really paying attention to stuff like that. You know, I always feel like I'm getting a little unlucky, and you know, it's just one of them's going to come." But I don't care what any hockey player says. Like, that has to be something that's weighing on your mind if you go that many games without scoring. And so maybe that's something that gets him going. And I mean, hoping that you know, maybe Jake DeBrusk gets in there and helps out that third line. And, you know, I think whether you want Nick Ritchie or Trent Frederick on that left wing on the third line doesn't really matter versus fourth line. I think either of those guys could be a productive player, maybe not necessarily from a scoring standpoint, but, you know, giving you that little bit of a physical presence, but puck possession wise. And I mean, even if you are rolling to a 1A, 1B, and then a 4A, 4B, it can work as long as they're like, you know, decent fourth lines.
Yeah, you don't want too much of a gap there. Yeah, no, it's just very encouraging right now, the direction this team's headed, heading into the playoffs since the trade deadline. And it's not just because bringing new players in. Obviously, that's a huge factor in it, but I think it just really put a jump in their step. And you look at the rest of the division, I mean, it's so close. Would you rule out the Bruins finishing at the top of the standings?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, but I think it's unlikely.
Okay. I think they're going all the way. No, I don't know. Yeah,
I think it's very unlikely that the Bruins finish first or miss the playoffs. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take 2, 3, 4.
Honestly, like, to me, how you finish in those rankings doesn't really matter to me so much. Like, the matchups, you're gonna have to play two really good teams out of your division to make it out of there. So I mean, we did cover like our preferred ones, and I think we all consensus said like the Penguins were the ones
to
play.
And then maybe the Caps.
I mean, yes, thank you, Lancey. We're covering that right now, friend. And then, you know, Washington, I don't necessarily believe in like any curse against Washington. I just want that series to be as late as possible because it's going to be chippy. Those teams really don't like each other. And that has the most fun Stanley Cup playoff matchup vibes that you could have.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, we covered that a lot in that episode. I don't even know what episode. I think that was I don't know when that was. But find it. Go find it. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen.
I should stop referencing old episodes like everyone on here's listened to every episode. But
something I did want to bring up was seventh player award, because we haven't on the podcast talked too much about it yet this season. At this point, who would you vote for on Nesson.com/ probably seventh player award?
Yeah, so I mean, my early takes were Craig Smith, but that was before I kind of understood what the I do not pay attention to this award at any point during any year. I the name doesn't make sense to me. Seventh player to me indicates a player who's not generally in the starting lineup who contributes the most, and to me that means Craig Smith. But apparently seventh player means anybody who exceeds expectations by the largest margin. And I think the consensus there is Nick Ritchie. I don't know, he hasn't been making a super strong statement toward the end of the season, but he did have a solid stretch. And I guess by that standard, if we're gonna use that criterion, I think two of the three of us in our preseason roster predictions had him up in the press box for the season. So I guess he has exceeded expectations by a large margin. I mean, you could pick any of the, I wouldn't say any of the young defensemen, but I mean, Jeremy Lauzon lately hasn't been great, but you know, when he was first playing on that top line with Charlie McAvoy, that was a thing that no one was expecting. So
yeah, this award, it's like fun, but it's a popularity contest at the end of the day, because you feel like, all right, look, Tim Thomas won it 2 years in a row. You had Brad Marchand win it in 2010-11, and then again in 2015-16. David Pastrnak won it in 2014-15, then 16-17. Chris Wagner won it in 2018-19. And then Charlie Coyle won it last year. Like it becomes a popularity contest in a way.
Yeah.
I think that's why Nick Ritchie is going to win it. I tip my cap towards Grizzlick, and here's why. Has he gone above and beyond? No. But if you look at where he was last season and then entering the season, a lot of people were expecting him to fill that void of Krug. And, you know, while he's not as dominant of a offensive presence as Krug is, he's held his own. He really has. Yeah. And I think he's a... Hello, Chanel. I think I don't know why I said it in that voice.
Hello. Hello, Chanel.
Pip, pip, cheerio, Chanel.
Drew just getting back from Ireland.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. I think for me, an unsung hero is Grizzlick. Just because he has filled that void. Not above and beyond, but he has done what's expected of him. And like, he's done what people have been wanting him to do. Like, this is now your role. And he's filled that role. And I was skeptical at first of him filling those skates. And it's not him alone. They've brought in younger faces that have helped fill that void. It's been a team effort to fill that void on the left side. But yeah, I think, He's blown my expectations. Maybe not blown away, but gone above my expectations.
Let me make my quick case for let me make my quick case for Craig Smith. Jesus Christ. I think Matt Kalman mentioned when on some thread of tweets that I was involved with on Craig Smith being not the candidate. He said Craig Smith was signed to score a 20 goal pace, whatever, and he's doing that. In my eyes, that was the expectation, but also he has been assisting and he has helped revitalize a line. He was brought in to be a third line right winger, and he has now become a fixture on the second line. And I think that gives him a little leg up for me on this stupid award. And then hell yeah.
And I love good, the spelling good comment. Preachy.
Yeah, I mean, anyone
who
goes ahead and properly spells it. Yeah, and my other one would be Mike Riley, just because that'd be hilarious to come in and exceed expectations by so much in like 20 games that you win the seventh player award.
I mean, he's doing a lot more than a third round pick.
Yeah,
like just the pick being there.
Third round pick is just sitting there. Third round pick hasn't even been named yet. The EA Sports name generator hasn't come up with its name yet.
What was the, we talked about a name in NHL before, like fictional NHL, or maybe it was a real player, but it was like AHL names or something, or just my name. Oh,
Steel? No, there was, his last name is McGrorty.
Cam says stop.
Stop Cam.
Stop Cam. Stop.
I have stopped Cam. Well,
okay. All right. I guess we gotta do this. Why is mine a maze?
Shouts to Amaze Labs that hosts the Hockey Podcast Network, which hosts us, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Diehards.
Sponsored by DraftKings.
Yes, very very famous.
And Boston diehard. Boston. I keep wanting to say Boston diehard fan. Diehard BostonSportsFans.com.
So I also wanted to shout out some Boston Pride players. Shouts to Mallory, our friend who won one of the foundation awards and got one of the fan vote 3 stars for the NWHL.
That needs a round of applause.
And shouts to Kaylee Fratkin for winning Defender of the Year. I suppose I'll forgive her for doing that and taking it from Mallory. I feel like if you if you lose Defender of the Year to Kaylee Fratkin, it's fine.
That's excusable.
Oh, and my Taylor Winskowski jersey showed up. I promised that I would purchase the gradient jersey of the goal scorer of the game-winning goal in the Isabel Cup final. And I did.
Hell yeah. And you got the fucking shirt that's not here for me yet. Black yeah. and cold. Till
I don't know where he's based, but I'm guessing probably closer to you than me.
I would assume, which is concerning. Maybe it got here and I just haven't seen it. Could have got mixed up in the mail. But
I doubt it. I think he just likes me better.
That's true. Yeah, he did express shipping for you. Well, you know what? Mine's probably going via truck and yours went via plane.
Yeah.
That could play a role. You know, travel. Trent Hogan says also Craig Smith in addition to Krejci. The second line is just on fire. It is.
Absolutely. All three of those guys, man. Taylor Hall's been every bit as good as we were expecting. I mean, I was singing his praises earlier in the game, even when he wasn't necessarily scoring or anything. He was just, you know, dicing up defenders and making them look real bad. Yeah, just he's fun to watch. I mean, I'm sure he's so not fun to watch when he's playing on a really bad team and he's either trying to do it all himself for the entire game or just like gives up.
So his whole career he's just been not fun to watch then.
I mean, I've seen highlights. He's definitely been fun at times, but yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys. Like for me, David Krejci's always been like, anytime he touches the puck, I want to see what this guy's about to do.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he's that to a higher degree because he has the speed. And you know, I don't want to talk too much shit about David Krejci's speed because I did notice that he blew by a couple defenders today. And you know, he's not a fast player, but he can turn on the jets when he needs to.
And they talk about skilled puck handlers being able to slow down the game. And David Krejci is the epitome of slowing down the game. Like you look at a zone entrance that's like going, I was going to say 80 miles per hour, but I meant like 80% speed. Like, you know, if you're thinking playoff hockey is 100% and you're on a huge breakout rush, like, you know, you're going 80%. He'll slow it down to fucking like 20% and everybody else is going, but he'll slow down. And he's just like God all day. It's like a quarterback in a like perfectly protected pocket. Like you just all day to make that pass, make that next move. Just an incredible playmaker.
And I think there's been this myth that when you puck smart's a good way to put it. I think there's been this myth that when you try to pair wingers with Krejci, you need to match up someone who can't outskate him too much or won't be, you know, diving offside. And Trent's right. I mean, like, he's puck smart. He's not gonna make his wingers blow by him and then draw them offside. He's gonna gain the zone first and then slow it down.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can pair him with somebody who's way faster than him and Taylor Hall, and it's gonna work just fine. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put him with Nick Ritchie or Nathan Horton or Milan Lucic, and everyone has to be the exact same level of skater. And
or Matt Pileski or David Backes.
Yeah. I mean, he's a really, really good hockey player. And I think he's been underrated around the league. At least I think people in Boston understand how good he is. There were times where there were calls to trade David Krejci because he's soft and can't stay healthy. But I mean, he had like a bad hip injury. And then for the most part has been pretty healthy for the last 3-4 years. And yeah, you don't really hear those calls for trading your really good number two center. And I mean, if the Bruins had absolutely sucked this year and been clearly going to miss the playoffs, I think maybe they might have tried to move him and see if he would waive his no trade, but that's not how this is going, and I'm glad.
I wanted to ask you, well, if we're not wrapping it up right now, but ready to move into a final segment, as this is Friday content, I have a little quiz for you. Ooh. Chris Gear. Who won the first ever seventh player award during the 1968-69 season? Who exceeded expectations in 69?
Gary, Larry, Terry, Jerry Cheevers.
Ooh, Ed Westfall. Here, what year were you born? 90?
Yeah.
All right. Who won it in the 1989-90 season?
Seventh player award.
He was also,
you know, I'm guessing Ray Bourque exceeded expectations most years. Let's go with that.
No, but he, when did he win it? I felt like I saw his name on this list. Well, he never won it. He did in 1979-80. The answer was John Carter, who is also the name of a U.S. representative. Okay, I'll ask names that like everyone should know, names of Bruins players. You just might be surprised when they won it. Let's see. Let's go to 86-87.
Who won the Don Sweeney?
Ooh, 86-87. No, it was Cam Neely. So that's close. That's wow. The same. That's the same box. Right, it's
the front office, yes.
It's literally the same office. They're neighbors. Don Sweeney won it in 92-93. Interesting. And then Cam Neely won it again. So see, like this award is really, really dumb.
He came back
from a knee injury.
I was gonna say, I assume Cam Neely was probably injured and came back because that was most of his career.
Bill Guerin won it 2 years in a row.
Exceeded expectations.
All right, now this is the big question.
Like really exceeded expectations.
Yeah, he went off in 02, you know. All right, here's the real, real big question. Who won it in the 2004-05 season?
Joe Thornton.
Nobody. It was a lockout. Aha.
Oh, you got me.
Joe Thornton won it in 2000. Before that, it was Byron Defoe, the best Bruins goaltender in history. I will die on that hill. No, I won't. But he has a sick poster. And it's in... I don't know where that poster is anymore. I think it's in my basement. But the pride of Worcester Mass, Bill Guerin. I don't know. I just want to bring up one other random one.
Okay.
I don't know. I want to find the best hockey name on this list. Oh, okay. 1991-92. Vladimir Ruzicka. Ruzicka.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. I think we're about good on that. Anything else, Chris, before we wrap up this hell of an episode?
No, I mean, Tuukka looked good. Starting back-to-back game. Not literally like back-to-back days, but starting two games in a row for the first time since coming back from injury, I believe. And looked pretty excellent after... a not great previous game.
Yeah, there was one.
It was the one before that. That was bad. He was good in the last game.
There was one Buffalo goal tonight where, I mean, I don't know if you can necessarily blame him for this, but there was a big, big rebound and he was out of position for it. I was watching at a bar, so I probably didn't see the whole perspective and all of the replays and everything. So I can't say whether that was Tuukka's fault or not, but I guess from.
No, one was a bad. I think they were both turnovers. One was a bad turnover. And
the other one was an acceptable good turnover.
Well, it was one of those ones from like the pass came from behind the net and there was no way Tuukka could do anything about
right.
it. Yeah. I'm not willing to ascribe too much blame to him on the two goals that he gave up.
You know, they're all his fault and he can't win the big games. So we all know that.
All right. Well, thank you for those watching live. Thank you to those listening later or watching later or those getting this via Telegram.
Do Telegram
still exist? Can we do Telegrams? Let's do a Telegram podcast.
I wonder if Telegraphs still exist.
Ooh. All right. We'll find out next time on Bruce.
Bye.